Thank you, Gavin. Good evening, everybody. My name is Bruce. I am a recovered alcoholic and a sinner and a child of God. Let me pray. In a what? Not anymore. I don't follow NFL anymore, so we won't get into that. I need to pray. I don't know about you, but whenever I do something like this, I got to pray because I need God's power. So, dear Lord, thank you for this opportunity to talk about accountability and recovery. Lord, most of all, I want to be accountable to you because in the long run, that's the most important thing. So, Lord, I pray tonight as I teach that you would speak through me and I would be clear. And I need your power, Lord, because I rarely feel adequate when I'm teaching, but you always give me your adequacy, Lord. So I pray for that right now and pray these things in Jesus' name. You know, one of the things that I always struggled with was always thinking that I got everything handled myself, you know, that I got this, right? As a matter of fact, most of my life, when my mother or anybody would ask me, how you doing, I'd say fine. Didn't matter how I really was doing, but I was always fine, right? And what's the acronym for fine? Anybody know that one? Something bad word. insecure, neurotic, and emotional. There you go. One of that, something like that. So, and that's true. Most of the time, I wasn't fine, but I just said fine so that I could avoid people. Today, when I'm hurting, I don't say I'm fine. I say I'm hurting. You ever notice you say, hi, how you doing? Oh, fine. How you doing? Good. And nobody says anything, even though they're not doing good. And when you go, oh, actually, I'm not doing very good. You got a couple minutes? They're like, oh, no, I don't. I got to go, right? And that's what kind of we want in response sometimes is for them to say, fine, because then we don't have to engage with them. But I'm learning that that's where I find life is engaging with people that need help, people that want to be accountable. So I'm going to start off with a couple things here. You know, about 7-8 years ago, I was still smoking, right? And I heard on the radio this thing. They had this smoking cessation study. And it kept saying, you know, between the age of 35 and 52 or something like that. And I fit that criteria. And they said, if you want to quit smoking, we're doing a study. So I went into this place and they basically gave you patches and gave you like gum and gave you all these things to help you quit smoking. And then when you go in, they'd have you breathe in a breathalyzer and then answer a bunch of questions. And then you come back the next week. And so you do that for like 6 months. You go once a week for 6 months. And after about 2 weeks, I was like, I don't even want these patches because I'm trying to quit nicotine and I'm still putting nicotine in my body. And I asked them, is it okay if I not wear these in this study? And they're going, well, we kind of wanted, you know, to be part of the study and everything. I said, well, if I'm quitting nicotine, I want to quit it all. Otherwise, I'm going to have to be done with this and then quit nicotine after I stop smoking, right? And so they said, okay, you can do that. And so every week I went in and you know, the girl was kind of cute, so that kind of helped things, right? And, I mean, just be honest with you, but I'm pretty nervous around pretty girls anyway, right? So so I went in there, and so part of the deal was that I didn't want to go in there and say, I smoked. Yes, I smoked. And it is a study, because they're trying to figure out what, you know, they ask you, you know, what's your cravings from 1 to 10 and all these things. But every week, I went again and again and again, and after about 6 months, they said, well, now you're just going to come twice a month. And I started doing that. And every time, there was something about having to go there to face somebody and tell them. And you know, when I thought about smoking, oh, I don't want to go see, I don't even remember her name anymore, but I don't want to go see her and said I smoked, you know? And the cravings got less and less. And so, and the reason I'm saying that is because the key to that was that I was accountable to something, to somebody. And that was the key, right? As a matter of fact, I think about 5 years ago, I was like 360 pounds, and I've put some weight on since then, and I could not, no matter for the life of me, lose the weight, and I started this group, Daniel Plan, and so we all met together, and every week we came in, and I started losing tons of weight, and people started going, whoa, we want to join that group, because it was really working, right? And I ended up losing 120 pounds and got rid of diabetes and all that kind of stuff, and it's still gone to this day, but I've put about half that weight back on. And is because I don't go every week to this. I don't go every week and be accountable to somebody, right? the other day, I'm in the office and I got this somebody brought some Rice Krispie treats with chocolate on top, you know, and I'll have one of those. It's on my desk, and one of the pastors here, Rob, he comes over and he's all, hey, how you doing with the weight thing? And he's looking at the thing on my desk, and he's all, you know what, let's do some, he goes, you know, why don't we meet on Wednesdays and for some accountability? And so he takes my Rice Krispie treat and throws it in the garbage. I'm like, oh, okay, I can do that. So now we're going to meet every Wednesday to be accountable. And he's doing that. He reached out to me, but that's what I need. You know, my wife and I, because we support each other, kind of like, how about ice cream? And then the other one goes, no, we shouldn't. And then the other one goes, you're right. And they go, well, maybe. And you talk each other into having ice cream, right? But the same thing with drugs. I remember having friends, we talked each other into getting high many, many times when we were trying to stop. So for me, the key is accountability, right? And but the thing is you have to set yourself up with accountability. And that's not what recovery people like to do too much. I know I didn't. I don't like it. But I can tell you one thing for sure is it works. And that's what works in recovery as well. Because you can go get clean and sober, but if you're still lonely and isolating, what good is sobriety if you don't have some relationships and some place that you can feel wanted and accepted and all those things, right? That's what recovery is all about. And accountability seems like, oh, that's too restricting for me. But you know what? It's a lie. It's freeing. When you become accountable to something, it frees you up, so you're not slave to stuff because you can share your burden with other people, right? And I know I'm overweight, and I used to feel so bad about myself that, you know, but everybody in here has some brokenness in them that they're struggling with. We all do. And, you know, I there are certain things that I have under control, like smoking. The food thing I still struggle with. Anger I struggle with. But when I stay accountable to people and I stay in relationship with them, I have a much better chance, right? So that's why I'm talking about accountability here. And so we're going to talk about the definition, first of all, of accountability is the quality or state of being accountable. That doesn't tell you much, right? I remember watching Seinfeld and he made up a word and they're playing a game, Scrabble or something. He made up a word. He's all, that's not a word. And Seinfeld goes, to quarf something, right? He's making the word. So anyway, because they said, use it in a sentence. He goes, to quarf something or something like that, right? So anyway, that doesn't tell us much. But it says especially an obligation or willingness to accept responsibility or to account for one's actions. I don't know about you, but I never did that. Someone always accounted me for my actions, the police, my parents, the teachers. They accounted for my activities. So if you don't keep accountable, somebody will hold you accountable if you don't hold yourself accountable, right? You're going to get accountable somewhere. So it's important to say, what, you know, accountability, what is that? Well, what does it mean? This is what it means. It means to take responsibility for our own selves. Now, my dad was very abusive, and he beat us, my sisters and I. He abused us in many ways, and I always used that as an excuse to go steal and lie and cheat and all those things, because I felt like, you know what, it's because he treated me that way. That's why I am the way I am. But there's a certain point in time where you have to take responsibility for your own self. And the first time I did was when I was 31, when I went into a drug program, Project 90. That was the first time I really took accountability for my own actions. And it was I stayed clean 7.5 years that first time. Never did get to know the Lord, but he was there. He was doing he was the one that was doing it. So we're going to move on here. So tonight I'm going to talk about accountability to ourselves, accountability to God, and accountability to others. And all those three things are really important. Now, if you look at the 12 steps of recovery, that's what that's all about. The 12 steps of recovery is all about accountability. It's about taking responsibility for your actions, then giving your accountability to God, and then others. When you get into the steps, you start taking responsibility for what you've done to others. So accountability, that's what recovery really is. It is accountability to, and the thing is that without that, you can't stay sober. At least I couldn't. And there may be some people that can, but do you really have life? Yes, Tony.
It seems like accountability has to do with getting rid of our false ideas. What do you call them? Delusions?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and it's just saying, you know what? It doesn't matter what happened to me. What the circumstances I'm in are my responsibility right now. Now, I may not be responsible for putting me into that situation. I was, but it's my responsibility to climb out of that situation, or climb out of that behavior, right? So, and it starts with accountability. And it starts with being honest, right? It starts with going, you know what? I'm messed up. I can't fix myself. I've never been able to. And I keep trying, but I can't. So I need to let someone else help me, right? And that's being accountable. That's that's making yourself accountable to someone else or something else, right? And that's God. So first we'll start out with accountability to ourselves. And so I'm going to go through some of the steps here, but I love this quote. I don't know who this Vishwas Shavan is. Anybody know who that is? Vishwas Shavan. Okay. I like the quote, okay? I don't know who they are, but I gave them credit. At least I didn't put Bruce Mays down there, right? So accountability and self-responsibility are critical to our success in personal, professional, and public life. However, we often look for those character traits in others rather than, here's a word for you, inculcating them in ourselves. Inculcating, that's what it stands for, cultivating, instilling, enforcing it in ourselves. So in other words, you need to be accountable, but I don't need to be accountable. So it's a lot easier to say you should be accountable for your actions, but mine, I have excuses for my actions, right? Because I was treated wrongly, or you just don't understand, right? So that's what we need. So it's taking responsibility, right? And part of that is admitting you're powerless over your problems. So willingness to accept responsibility. That's sort of the first thing that you have to do in recovery. And that's, we admitted we were powerless. And I put over here, over our problems, because this is the life recovery steps, the way they are. It doesn't say alcohol, it says problems. You can take anything you're struggling with and put it in the place of alcohol, and it works the same way. It's the same thing, it's the same principles. They're all biblical principles, by the way. So the first one says, we admitted we were powerless over our problems, that our lives had become unmanageable. So first of all, that just means being honest with ourselves, being going, you know what? Life doesn't work the way I've been deceiving myself and telling myself everything's okay and I'm going to handle this. And you just have to come to the point to where, you know what? I don't. And part of this is, I think, humankind's problem. This is mankind's problem, is we want to be our own little gods. We want to call the shots. And that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I was taught, right? When you need something, you just pull up your bootstraps and you do it, right? And I did that before. I did it with losing weight other things in my life, but it never lasted, right? That's the problem. I was still only accountable to myself only, or I actually really wasn't. I was not accountable to anybody. I just did whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted. And like Andy always says, you know, Dr. Phil, how's that working for you? It didn't work for me. You know, I'm 32 years old and living in my truck, or actually I'm living in this attic of some automotive shop that I worked at. And, you know, I'd work enough to get some money and then buy crack and smoke it all night. And so that was my existence, right? And I tried to act like that was okay, you know, like that's, you know, that's not abnormal, right? To be living in an attic smoking crack, right? So, what? Yeah, well, I didn't have the hair, but... because of it. So honest, right? It's being, where am I really at? Where am I really at? That starts with that. You can't be accountable until you start doing that. So you're honest with your situation, right? And I got to admit, you know, this, when I started doing this accountability teaching, I'm like, oh my goodness, I've opened up this big can of worms, because there's a lot in here. And I'm going to try to keep it down, consolidated to these three points: accountable to ourselves, accountable to God, and accountable to others, right? So then after admitting this and being honest and going, here's where I am now. So just staying there and going, because I did that for like 10 years. I mean, I was like admitting I had a problem, but I never did anything about it. I never admitted or took into account that my life was unmanageable. I never got that far. Only I did like the first half of the first step for about 10 years. Seriously, that's what I did. Me and my friend were telling, oh, we have a problem. Yes, we got to do something about it. But we weren't willing to do, able to admit that my life was unmanageable, even though I was losing jobs left and right, always running out of gas. I mean, I ran out of gas probably 150 times because all the money was spent on drugs and alcohol, right? I got no money for gas. What the heck? You know, put $5 in the tank and the rest is for drugs for the week, right? And then I had these big old Lincoln Town, you know, hoopties I had too, right? You ever try to push one of those things? Oh my goodness. It's not happening, brother. Like stuck in the middle of El Camino at 2:30 in the morning trying to push my hooptie, right? So, yeah, among other things. But anyway, it's funny now, but it wasn't then, right? Because the cops are going to come or whatever. Anyway, but my life wasn't unmanageable, right? It was still manageable because I could stick. All right. So I had to. So at this point, I knew I couldn't fix it. I seen other people in recovery. And so that made me come to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity because I seen it happen to other people. So I came to believe that because I saw other people, right? And I saw other people have a life. I saw other people have life in their eyes. I saw them have light in their eyes. I don't know. There's something about somebody who gets clean and sober, especially when you go to those recovery programs, you see people and about 90 days, their eyes start to glow and you're like, oh my goodness. They start looking like Jesus freaks kind of. You know, seriously, that's what I thought. Yes. I believe. Oh, Hunter's Point. Oh, that's even better. Yeah. Okay. I remember Hunter's Point, boy. Whew. What was I doing in that place, man? It was like, I don't know. It was like being in a war zone or something, man. I had guns pull on me and all that. Anyway, sorry. Let me go. Let's move on. Came to believe a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity because I saw it happen to other people. I saw them. I want what they have. I want to be like them. I want to have a life. I want to love myself. I want to be able to love others. I couldn't love others because I couldn't love myself. I can actually love people now. Even if they're not very likable, I can still love them, right? Because it's all about God loving me the way I was, and then he wants me to love other people in the same way. So came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. That's accountability. That's saying, I don't have it. I believe you can, God, right? That's still part of accountability to myself. Now, some of these things bleed together because accountability to myself is actually accountability to God, and accountability to others can also be accountability to God. So all these things kind of blend together. I tried to break them up, but it's not possible. So now we're going to go to this part. It says, to account for one's actions, right? That means everything I've done, I have to face them. I have to account for them, right? When you get sentenced in court to go to jail, you're being accountable to what you've done, right? You're taken to account for your actions. That's the sentence, right? Now, sometimes that could be if you losing jobs, losing family members, losing all sorts of things, right? So that's being accountable to one's actions. And then these steps kind of address that. So three, made a decision to turn our wills and our lives over to the care of God. Now, see, we're saying, God, I want to be accountable to you, right? But in the process of that, we're trying to be accountable to ourselves by giving our accountability over to God, right? You're giving it over to God, so you're being accountable to yourself by giving it over to God, by being accountable to God. That makes sense? You guys covering that? All right, good. Because, like I said, they all mix together, and that's the thing about recovery. It's all about these three points I told you, being accountable to ourselves, to God, and to others. That's the whole recovery program right there in a nutshell. And then made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So there's being taken an account of my actions, right? That's what the inventory process is to look at some of the ugliness that transpired when I wasn't being accountable. It was really ugly. That's why I hated myself. That's why I... Stop laughing back there. That's right. That's right. So, and it should, because my sponsor did, it was only the bad stuff. He never said, hey, let's look at some of your good qualities. I figured that out later, that I did have some good qualities, actually. But, you know, when you hate yourself, you don't think that you have any good qualities, that you don't have any redeeming qualities when you hate yourself. It's nothing worse than hating yourself. It's a horrible existence. But the one thing I learned in recovery, especially in this room, was I can put my brokenness out there and my ugliness, and I'm accepted still, because we all have it. We all have the same thing inside of us. And the ones that don't say that, that don't believe, they're deceiving themselves. We have to come to admit that everybody besides Jesus Christ is broken. We're intermingling with a bunch of broken people, and we're one of them. But I can't fix those broken people. I can only work on this broken person, right? Before I can even attempt to help someone else, I have to work on this broken person, and I have to be accountable to something or someone. And I chose that to be God, right? And I still struggle with, I don't want nobody to tell me nothing. Don't tell me. My wife will give me advice and I'll fight it. And then later I'll take the advice, use it. And she goes, hey, I thought you, because, you know, all of a sudden I used her advice, but I didn't tell her. So I still have that part about me where I don't like accepting help. I don't like people telling me things I don't know. I struggle with those things. I struggle with people telling me things because I think I need to know everything. Right? I mean, so I'm the only one? Am I the only one?
Yep.
Oh. That's right. Yeah. You're not accountable to me. All right. I love this quote too. Wisdom stems from personal accountability. We all make mistakes, own them, learn from them. Don't throw away the lesson by blaming others. Because when you do that, you know, Andy always told me a long time ago that if you don't learn the lesson now, God will bring it again until you learn it. He'll keep putting you in that situation. Bruce, I'm trying to teach you something here. I'm not going to do it. Then once there's enough pain and I've done the mistake enough times, now I'm finally, hey, you know what? Amen, right? Don't blame others, because I did. Like I said, I blamed my father. I blamed circumstances, the police, the judge. How many people have blamed the police for their problems? Okay, I kind of figured that. Now some of them are legit. Some of them are legit, but some of them aren't, right? But we want to make them all be illegitimate, right? And I'm not speaking for you. Well, okay, profiling, I guess they profiled me because I was driving a hoopty in East Palo Alto at 2 in the morning. So I would definitely profile them. No. But I'm just saying that's the place where I went. It had nothing to do with being. Oh, well, that's okay. That really has nothing to do with what I'm talking about here. But no. Anyway. All right. So I don't learn. So I learned from those mistakes. If the cops saw me down there before or anywhere buying drugs, then and they see my car then again, what do they think I'm doing there? They think I'm buying drugs again, right? That's the whole thing, and I did it, and because I didn't care because I wanted what I wanted, and I didn't care about the consequences. And I'm sorry that you were profiled. I really truly am. Okay, well I think that everyone probably has in one way or another. I think recovery people are profiled because they just assume, oh, you know what? I don't want to leave my stuff unlocked or leave my stuff here around a bunch of recovery people. It happens to all of us. So, you know, I'm not saying it's fair, but it happens. Part of life. It's part of people's brokenness, right? And we want to be forgiven for our brokenness, so we have to learn to forgive them for their brokenness. It's not easy, Andre. I'm not discounting what you said, and so don't think that, okay? I do care about you, brother. I really do. All right. So then there's accountability to God, and now we're going to go into what's that, brother? That's fine. You keep me sharp, brother. Thank you. So, thank you. Thank you, brother. Okay, we got time. Oh, you said my time's up. So now we're going to be accountable to God, right? Accountability to God is really important, too. And the next three steps kind of cover that, right? So you've done your inventory. You've taken account for what you've done. But that's not the end of it. What are you going to do with that, right? Yeah, I messed up a bunch of times, hurt a bunch of people. I'm good. I'll never drink again. No, there's more to that. I was so scared of this, man, this thing. But when I was done, I'm like, what was I so scared of? I mean, seriously, it's like, it's like having $1 million. All you got to do is be embarrassed once, right? And I think most of us would be embarrassed for a minute to get $1 million. It may not be a good analogy, but it's like you get so much from it, and the what you pay is very little compared to what you get in return. Does that make sense to you? So we admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. I mean, that covers everything. Accountable to God, accountable to others, accountable to myself. That fifth step is about that. We're admitting to God, to ourselves. So God, look at all this brokenness. This is who I am. Take me as I am. Myself, I'm admitting, look, I'm broken. I need help. God, you can help me. You're the only one that can help me, you know. And another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Not, hey, you know what? I stole one time. Or it's kind of like confession in when I was a Catholic, right? Father, forgive me for I have sinned. I stole, I cheated, I lied. And he'd say 7 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers. And I went out and I didn't even know Hail Mary. So I just faked it. But the thing is, I didn't know Hail Mary. So I just pretended. And, you know, who knows Hail Mary? Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Okay, oh, I should open that can of worms. But I didn't know him. But you know what? Repeating a bunch of words doesn't mean nothing. If I continue to live the same way, if I don't take steps to change those behaviors, right? So admitting them, and so you can't stop there. I admitted them, okay? Now what do you do? So now you got to continue to do it. You got to continue. This is really doesn't sound like an action step, but it's really just putting ourselves in the position to be helped by God, right? That's basically putting us in the proper condition so that God can work on us. That's what this step is, right? Fifth step, when I did it, man, I floated out of there when I did my fifth step. I floated. I mean, basically, well, I know I'm a little heavy, but I didn't quite float. Felt like I floated, but anyway. Amen. Hey, that's okay. I used to do, never mind. Stay away from that. So here it's saying the exact nature of our wrongs. That means exactly what I did. You know what? I stole $70 out of your purse, or I broke into your house and stole a bunch of things. I broke into the store. It's the exact nature, because God doesn't work in generalities. He wants to know exactly what we did wrong. He wants us to admit exactly what we've done wrong. Then he can heal it. But if you just do generalities. My tongue is not working. But anyway, if you just deal in that, God can't work with that. He wants the exact things you did. That's why you do the four-step inventory. I had pages and pages and pages and pages of things that I did wrong. There probably would have been pages of good stuff if I had been instructed to do that, but I didn't. But I did find out later there were some good things, because they're still here. My sense of humor, my caring for people, those things are still here. They used to be here too, yes. He can be your spiritual sponsor, I guess, but you need, because it's being accountable to others as well, right? So I think it comes along with that. I think that God works with us through other people, right? I mean, ever meet somebody and you just connect with them and you're just like, that's God. That's God doing that. He's going, you know what? I put this person in your life to sharpen you, to make you better, to, yes, Tony. Well, it depends on who your sponsor is, okay? It really does. And, yeah, I mean, because, like I said, before I came here, when Dave Thorne talked about that, I never heard that. The sponsors I had never did that with me, right? But it still worked.
That's a good idea.
Oh, no, it is, yeah, because then you can, like, oh, my God, I'm horrible, you know? I need to just deserve to die because I did all these things. But our Savior died for us. We don't have to end our lives. But we have to die to the life that we have so that we can live. I mean, it's completely contrary to what you've brought up with, but I know this. I know that it's not something I read or heard about. It's something that happened to me. I made myself accountable to God and other people, and my life blossomed into something I could have never imagined, right? So accountability is not restricting. It's freeing, and it opens your world up, being accountable to people. I remember a counselor told me at Project 90, he said, you need to give up control to get control. And I'm like, what an idiot. Seriously. That's what I thought. Oh, what an idiot. Yeah. And he was like a counselor who was younger than me. And so I discounted him because he was younger than me. But he was right. You got to give up control to get a semblance of control in your life. Doesn't mean I still get to control everything, but it means that I let God control it and I don't fight it anymore. God, whatever you do, I'm good with that, right? So Anyway, moving on. There's so much in this. It's wonderful, life-giving stuff. So we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. You do the inventory. You share them with people. You don't have to carry that secret around anymore. The secret's out. And so that's why you got to get rid of it. Once the secret's out, then you just get together with God and just, God, I'm ready to do whatever you want me to do, right? And you can do these things all on the same day. You can do the fourth, fifth, or you can do the fifth, sixth, and seventh all on the same day. You can go home from, which is what I did. And then we humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings. So now I've seen all my shortcomings on paper. I've listed them all. I've admitted them all. I shared them with someone else. And now I prepared myself to, for God to take them. And I say, now God, take them. Now I wish I could say he took them all right that day. But he didn't. He took my glaring ones, the using and drinking and pornography and all those things. It actually, the pornography didn't go away for about another year or so. But it did go away. It fell off. And it wasn't like I did anything for that to happen. I just started to focus my attention on God, make myself accountable, give him my life, and he took those things away. Because when you accept Jesus, you in comes in you as a new creation. That new creation is not capable of sinning. So when you live out of that new creation, the only time when you mess up is when you live out of your old life. And so you have to stay in the new life and know that's who you are. Children of God don't go to crack houses, right? Children of God don't rob houses. Children of God don't rob stores. Children of God don't do those things. So it's not about changing those behaviors. It's about changing the inside. It's about God changing your inside so that your outside behaviors change. It doesn't work the other way. I tried it. I tried to change my behaviors to make a better person. It doesn't work that way. God makes you a new person, then your behaviors come out of that. But it includes accountability. It includes admitting that you're not God, right? So humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings, right? So that's asking God, that's being accountable to God right there, saying, God, it's up to you to do this, right? It's not up to us to change. It's up to us to seek him, and he just does the changing. So what's happened in my life? I wish I could tell you, all the changes that have happened in my life, because I'm such a wonderful, strong person. Not so. It's because I'm a weak, frail human being. That's why. That's right. Accountable to God, right? Trying to keep in the theme of things, right? Romans 14:12 said, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. So, I'm talking about staying accountable in recovery, but we're talking about even further than that, right? Because you can get sober and clean and your life will get better, but what are you going to do at the end of your life? Where are you going to spend eternity? That's the question we have to answer. So not only are we accountable for our recovery, but we're accountable to God for everything we do. Every little secret and every little thing that we did that we were looking at, hoping no one saw, God's going to see those things, right? God sees those things. He knows that those things happen. And then when we become a believer, and now we know the truth, once you know the truth, then you're even more accountable to your actions than you were before you didn't know, right? When I didn't know, it was like I had no other choice. But now that God has come into my life, I have a choice now, right? So we're all going to be accountable to God. Don't fool yourself that you think that, hey, I did good. I helped the old ladies across the street, and I served the homeless, and I did. And those things are great things. But if you don't know the Lord, you're going to be judged for all those things. If you don't know the Lord, we're going to be guilty for all those things that we did. So that's why we need to know Jesus, because he takes away those sins, took away the sins of the world, right? Hebrews 4:13 says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So it's really, it is daunting, right? It is like, oh my goodness, this isn't, we're not playing around here. We're talking about eternal life or not, with God or not, right? So everything we do, we're accountable to God, especially now that we have a choice to choose the spirit or the flesh. So, being accountable to God's not a joke. And then 2 Corinthians 5:10, I love this because I studied it in discipleship group. And it goes like this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, remember, Jesus died for our sins, but this isn't, there's a white throne judgment that happens that the people that don't know Jesus are going to be eternally separated from him, and then the other people are going to be with Jesus, right? But even after that, there's going to be a judgment about what you did with what God gave you, right? What did you do? If God made you an encourager and you don't encourage people, or you You have resources, you don't share them with people. You're going to be accountable to that. We're all going to be accountable to that. But the thing is if you're in Christ, it's not a struggle for this, right? It's because of who I am, I do that. I do those things because of who I am. But when I start thinking about my own agenda, then I'm going to be accountable to those things someday. Yes, Bill.
There's good news with that, too, because there's reward associated with that.
Yep. Yes, and...
not just what I get in heaven, but the reward for what I've done good.
Yes.
That has a lot to do with my motive, whether or not I've been my old self doing that stuff, or I've my
new. Yeah, and because if you go, you know what, I'm going to get reward, so I'm going to do this. Well, wait a minute, your motive's off. You're doing this because God loved you so much that he saved you, that you're going to do the same for him, right? So, yeah, and there are going to be degrees of rewards. If you've, it's like the story of the talents, the guy that had five doubled those, the guy that had 10 doubled those. So if you're responsible with much, then he'll even give you more to be responsible over. But if you're not responsible with little, he won't even give you anything else to be responsible over. And really, ultimately, we're not going to go up there and have playing harps in a cloud. That's not what it is. We're going to have a purpose. We're going to. Oh, that would be. No, I don't think that'd be okay for like a day or something.
We're going to get to work with him and do incredible.
Yeah, just like now, when I have a purpose in my life now, and I know what God wants me to do, and I do that, and when I do that, I get life, and I get it abundantly. I get it abundant. I have a great life. I mean, I'm overweight. I got wrist problems, knee problems, hip problems. But man, I wouldn't trade my life for anything in the world for what I have now. It's because I made myself accountable to God and others, and I did the recovery process. So accountability to others. I'm having trouble speaking tonight. Accountability to others. So this is where, you go on, you figured out what you've done, you've asked God to remove these character defects. Now I got to be accountable to my actions to everyone else. And that's a scary part, because you might get rejected. There was a lot of people that I robbed, that I don't know where they are, who they were, or any of those things, and they don't live there anymore. And so that's the burden I have to live with the rest of my life. But that's how, so what I do is I serve other people. I surrender my life to other people surrender my time, my resources to other people. That's the only way I can make amends to those things, right? And not do them anymore, right? So I don't rob houses anymore. And I didn't that many times, but I did. And I'm not proud of it. It was one of the things that made me hate myself, right? Doing those things. It made me hate myself, loathe myself. Even in high school, I hated myself for a lot of my life, man. I remember I used to go to high school, and I don't know if I told this story before, but I used to wear this big blue down jacket, right? And I used to walk into the high school because it was my security blanket, because I was fat, so that was supposed to, I guess, hide the fat. Well, then we'd look fatter, right? Seriously, but I would wear it 90 degrees. Aren't you hot? No, not at all. Not at all. Keep my jacket. Seriously. Oh, no. Oh, that's okay. Okay. Anyway, 9 says, I'm so sorry about that. So we made a list and became willing, right? Made it say, these are the people I hurt. These are the people I need to make amends to. Sorry, I put that. How did I do that? I don't know. Thank you, brother. So step 8 is making a list of the people that you need to go make amends to. And it doesn't mean you can make them all right away or how you can make them all, but you just make a list of all the people you hurt and are willing to fix it if you can, right? Step 9 said, may direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to injure them, unless to do so would injure them or others. So we can't, to save our own life, hurt someone else's life, right? So if, I don't know, there's things of having affairs or something that if I'm going to try to make an amends to somebody to save my own skin and it's going to hurt other people, then I'm causing other things to make amends for, right? So it doesn't make sense. So sorry about the typo there. That's a big typo. No, it's a copy and paste-o. Anyway... There it is right there. Made a direct amends to such people. But when you start to do that, the self-loathing starts to go away. The I'm trying to make things right. Because I used to say sorry like 700 times. I'm down to like 300. But you know, but I used to say sorry, and then if they look, you know, were mad at me or something, sorry, and after a while it doesn't mean anything, and I don't have to keep apologizing. Once I've apologized once, there's nothing more you can do. It's up to them if they're going to forgive me or not, right? It's not up to me to keep saying, and I still do it, right? Sorry, I'm saying sorry so much, you know. So we don't have to keep doing that. Do it once, done. I'm good. I've cleaned my side of the street. To be accountable means that we are willing to be responsible to another person for our behavior, and it implies a level of submission to another's opinions and viewpoints. Whew, that's hard, isn't it? To have to listen to other people's opinions and viewpoints. But my opinions and viewpoints didn't work, right? They got me in jail and almost death and homeless and all those things, living in my car and all those things. That's what that got me. So in exchange to do that, you know, so to submit to some other people, I'll gladly do it now. Well, sometimes a little reluctantly, if I'm really honest, right? You know, even if I'm working on my car at home, the neighbor wants to come and help me, you know, and I'm like, I'm getting mad. Like, I don't want your help. I don't need your help. And he's all, oh, the bolt's right there. Just do it right here. And then he gets it out. And I'm like, ugh. You know, and I'm like, thank you. You know, but there's still something inside me, my pride, that doesn't want people to help me. I don't want for, you know, someone else to take credit for it. I don't know what it is. It's part of my brokenness that I continue to have to struggle with God on all the time. What's that? Yes, it does. And you know what? And When you really love someone and know someone like I do my wife, I value her opinion, right? So what she says carries a lot of weight. Even if I do resist it, I do take into account, and you know, maybe 5 minutes later I'm going, thank you, I'm sorry, honey. That's cleaning my side of the street, right? Whew, I'm sweating like crazy over here. And then having people, being accountable to people, to being in fellowship with people. Ecclesiastes says this, 4:9-12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Used to be that person all the time. I used to be. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, I used to work for a janitor company, and you could have one person clean a building in, say, like an hour, right? You get two people, they can do it in 20 minutes, right? So it's more than just double the work you get, right? If you have three people, you can do it in like 10 minutes because everyone's pitching in and you can get things done faster together, right, and better. And so when you're in recovery with people, if you only have one lifeline, and that lifeline's not available, you know, chances are you're going to use again or drink again or go back into the behavior that you've been trying to stop, right? So it's real important to have fellowship and get to know people at an intimate level where they know who you are and let them know your brokenness and give them permission to speak into your brokenness. You have to give them permission. I reluctantly gave people permission, but I did, and they would tell me when I'm wrong. Many times I teach, and 90% of the people come, good job. Right, but I only have a couple people that'll go, that's pretty good, but you kind of missed the mark there in a couple places, you know. And I'm like, first I'm like defensive, but then as I process it, you know, you're right. Thank you. Those are the people I really appreciate that tell me the truth, even if it's painful. And I've learned to be able to do that for other people as well. And I don't always do it perfectly, but I'm learning. I'm not the people pleaser doormat that I used to be. So I kind of like this. This is the same scripture, but it's in the Message. Says it's better to have a partner than go it alone. Share the work, share the wealth. And if one falls down, the other helps. But if there's no one to help, tough. Two in a bed warm each other. Alone, you shiver all night. By yourself, you're unprotected. With a friend, you can face the worst. Can you round up a third? A three-standard rope isn't easily snapped. So that's why this is important, right? It's we admitted we were powerless. It doesn't say I admitted I was powerless. We, our Father who art in heaven. We're all in this together, and we have to help each other. Even God is a relationship, right? The triune God is a relationship. It's not just it's the Father, Son, and the Spirit. All, it's a relationship, right? And so we're made in his image, so we're supposed to be in a relationship too. Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. Everybody knows that one, right? We have a Tuesday night recovery Bible study, and we sometimes sharpen pretty good, right? Yeah, so it's great, though. We have a group that is so accountable to each other. It's great. It's awesome. I mean, we just share our brokenness, and nobody judges, and everybody loves each other. And it doesn't mean we don't, you know, get little tiffs here and there, but we support each other. And I'll tell you, that's being accountable to each other. Then there's spiritual maintenance. We've gone through step 9, and the spiritual maintenance is 10, which is continued accountability, right? It's every night when I go to sleep, if I said something cross to my wife, I did something. As a matter of fact, the last Tuesday night Bible study, we had a little bit of some friction. We prayed, and spiritual warfare was happening. We prayed, it went away. You know, we told the evil one to leave, and we asked God to take the evil one out of her, and he did. But I couldn't sleep that night because of things I said and behaviors that popped up that I thought I had squashed. You know, the time when you think, oh, I got this, they pop up again. And even if they don't outwardly appear, inside they do. I get angry, like a snap, I get angry, right? So when I put my head on the pillow, I go through all those things and I have to admit them. And sometimes I have a hard time sleeping on it, though. If I did something, my wife, I'll wake her up and tell her right then. But there's other people that I can't make the amends till next I see them. And my people pleaser wants to just call them up and say sorry 700 times, right? But no, change my behavior. Don't just say sorry over and over and over. Change your behavior, right? Apologize and then change. So that's what the 10th step is. Continue to take personal inventory. When we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Keeps it down. You don't have to do any more big inventories, right? You keep small inventories all the time. And then we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So it's getting to know God better, right? It's seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. How do you do that? You read his word. You study his word. You do it with others. And the reason you study with others is because you'll hear perspectives that you would have never thought of on your own. You're going, oh my God, that's what the word said. So when we study God's word together, we get a lot more out of it than if we just study it alone. Not saying you shouldn't study it alone. You should do that too. But we should do it together because sometimes we'll hear something from somebody. That's the only way God would have ever communicated to us was through that person. And you never know what somebody has for you. I believe that there's nobody comes across my path that God didn't ordain for it to happen. So I always try to figure out why did God put this person in my life. Amen. And because I want to find out. I'm lucky because I'm associated with our brother's home. So, you know, I'm always given advice. And then I have to go home and when I put my head on the pillow and go, am I doing what I'm telling these guys? So it keeps me accountable, right? So. Holding others accountable keeps you accountable because it's just a give and take and it's life abundantly, right? Amen. And then having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, try to carry this message to others, practice these principles in all our affairs. So do this because of what God's done for us, right? We want to go out and love others. We want to go out and just like I said about why did God put this person in my path? Because he has something for me to give him or something to receive from that person. That's why we do this together. I could go on and on and on. A couple things I wanted to share with you. I have 2 minutes left and I'm going to get it done here real quick. 5 things that you should probably do, that you should do to be accountable to others, God, and yourself. Tell your close friends and family about your sobriety, right? Tell everybody, your friends that you used to drink with and stuff. If they're really good friends, most of them will support you. Some of them will go, oh, no, come on, you can have a beer, come on, it won't hurt you. Yeah, stay away from those people, but there are people that will support you if you tell them. Say, you know what, I'm drinking, I'm on the land. Okay, you know what, we're not going to have beer here tonight. Whatever it is, right? I mean, I can go to weddings and places, and I could walk in a bar, and it doesn't freak me out, but I couldn't the first couple of years. I can now. But I don't, you know, hang out in bars all the time, right? Or hang out down in where I used to buy crack and stuff, right? So anyway, tell your close friends. There's no better way to keep yourself accountable in sobriety than being transparent about your recovery. That includes doctors. Hey, I'm an addict, right? Oh, well, we're going to give you some OxyContin for your pain. Or like, oh, sure, you know. But if you don't tell them or ask for an alternative, we need to be honest with doctors about that too. Doesn't mean, because I took opiates when I had my knee and my hip replacement, but I only took them when I needed them. And then once I actually, believe it or not, I'm an addict and I had like a bunch left over in it that I didn't take, I threw away. What? That's not me, I can tell you that for sure. Be honest. Honesty is something a lot of us aren't used to when we get sober. I was a lying cheat before I got clean and sober. Found an accountability partner, which is a sponsor. Doesn't have to be a sponsor, but if you want to work the steps, you want to work with somebody who's successfully worked them, has been clean for a while, and you want to emulate your life, you want your life to emulate theirs, that's what you have to pick. Because it's easy to pick a crappy sponsor. I did it on purpose. Oh yeah, Joe, I never see him, but I saw him once and he's my sponsor for like years, right? Stay connected. A common symptom of addiction is isolation. It is imperative to stay connected if you want to stay accountable in sobriety. Staying connected can remind you that there are many others on your path. If they can do it, you can do it too, right? Because we're doing this together. And then here's a really good thing I wish I had done that I'm going to do now with my food thing. Keep a list of what you have to lose and keep it with you. Or keep a list of what you've gained, right, in your sobriety and what you stand to lose with your sobriety. And when you're, you know, when you're, they call it like playing the tape through, but if you have it in your wallet and you go, oh, you know, I'm feeling crappy. And I go, look, oh my God, have a picture of your wife or your kids or whoever you, what you stand to lose. And then write down what you have, what you've gained from it. And it's something, it's a tool. It's just another tool. And the last tool I want to share with you is this. I found this. So tell your close friends and family about your sobriety. Be honest with yourself and others. Find an accountability partner. Stay connected. Keep a list of what you have gained and what you have to lose. And then if you haven't checked this out, this app is really cool. It's called Pocket Rehab Sobriety Time. You can get it on your app and you can put your sobriety date in there. You can make connections with people from other parts of the state or the country, other parts of the world. If you can't get your hold of your accountability person or your sponsor or tour, then you can go on this thing and talk with somebody, or you can go through and read the note. Check it out. I only spent like half an hour on it and I barely scratched the surface. So if you want to try that, if you do this, if you do this, let me know, because I might need your help if you're more tech savvy than me. Let me pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for recovery. Thank you for the 12 steps of recovery, which I believe is inspired by you, Lord. It's just another path to the one path to the Father, Lord. I don't believe there's many paths to the Father, but I believe there's many paths to the path to the Father. So I pray, Lord, that we would find the path to Jesus and we would surrender our lives to him, be accountable to him, and Lord, you will give us life like we could never imagine. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in my life and for what you're about to do in everyone's life in this room. In Jesus' name, amen.